भगवती वसुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, Actually, I was told that I should read the Bhagavatam verses. Just read the verses because we have to keep a sequence. These are actually the last two verses of this chapter. So, I'm just going to, well, you can repeat with me. Brahmaratra upavrite vasudeva numoditaha anichancho jajurgopya swagriham bhagavat priyaha. After an entire night of Brahma had passed, Lord Krishna advised the gopis to return to their homes. Although they did not wish to do so, the Lord's beloved consorts complied with his command, purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita 8:17, Lord Krishna explains, open quote, by human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night, close quote. Thus, 1,000 ages entered within a single 12-hour night when Lord Krishna performed his rasa dance. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti compares this inconceivable compression of time to the fact that many universes fit neatly within the 40-mile range of earthly Vrindavan. That's interesting because Einstein also had a theory that you can double space. You can take space from here to here and you can double it. So what was far becomes very close. So. Or one may consider that Mother Yashoda could not encircle the small abdomen of child Krishna with numerous ropes, and that at another time he manifested many universes within his mouth. The transcendence of spiritual reality above and beyond mundane physics is concisely explained in Srila Rupa Goswami's Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Evam Prabhu Priyanam Cha Dhamnas Cha Samyasyasya Cha Avichintya Prabhava Tvad Atrakinchin Nadurgatam. Nothing is impossible for the Lord, his dear devotees, his transcendental abode, or the time of his pastimes, for all these entities are inconceivably powerful. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti further explains that the word Vasudeva Numoditaha indicates that Lord Krishna advised the gopis, open quotes, to assure the success of these pastimes, you and I should keep them secret. But now we all know. The word Vasudeva, a name of Krishna, also indicates Lord Krishna's plenary expansion, who acts as the presiding deity of consciousness. When the word Vasudeva is understood in this context, the word Vasudeva Numoditaha indicates that the presiding deity of consciousness, Vasudeva, manifested embarrassment and fear of their elders within the gopis' hearts, and therefore it was only with great reluctance that the young girls returned home. Text 39. Vikriditam vraja vadubhiridam cha Vishnu Shradham vito nu shinuyat atavana idya Bhaktim param bhagavati pratilabhya kamam Hridrogam ashvapan hino chachirena dhira. Anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus, he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. So your success is guaranteed. Purport. The extraordinary power of Lord Krishna's conjugal pastimes is clearly revealed here. Qualitatively, the Lord's spiritual, loving pastimes are the diametric opposite of material, lusty affairs, so much so that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastimes, a devotee conquers sex desire. By reading pornographic literature or hearing about material romance, we certainly do not conquer sex desire, but rather increase our lust. But hearing or reading about the Lord's conjugal affairs has exactly the opposite effect, because they are of the opposite nature, being purely spiritual. Therefore, it is by the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna that he exhibits his Rasa Lila within this world. Water. If we become attached to this narration, we will experience the bliss of spiritual love and thus reject the perverted reflection of that love, which is called lust. As nicely put by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 2:59, Param Drishtva Nivartate, once having directly experienced the Supreme, one will not return to material pleasures. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 33rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Rasa Dance. The Rasa Dance Ki Jai. So today is the transcendental appearance day of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And we should thank Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur for giving us the gift of Srila Prabhupada. That was the greatest gift we could ever had. So I would like to speak a little bit about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur first, because it was due to the prayers of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati advented. He descended to this world. So on those days, Vaishnavism was not well regarded, because there were Sahajiyas that were behaving in an illicit way, and they were passing by Vaishnavas. There were also the caste Goswamis, who one of the followers of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wrote on the third volume of the Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, that although they were completely illiterate, good for nothing, incapable of doing anything, they still passed by spiritual masters. In other words, they had followers that would give them monthly donations or annual donations like salary, and they would go to their homes and perform some ceremony, and they were like their gurus. And the children of those disciples would become also their disciples automatically, or disciples of their children. So it was like a business, like running a family business. So between the caste Goswamis and the Sahajiyas, Vaishnavism was not very well regarded. So it was in this situation that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was trying to preach Krishna consciousness. And on top of this problem, he didn't have books. He had a difficult time even finding a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he had to personally copy by hand part of the book, because he could find only one copy. And he paid somebody else to copy the rest of the book. So it wasn't an easy situation. And he didn't have a movement. And to preach Shuddha Bhakti, devotional, you know, pure devotional service, wasn't an easy situation in that society. Because people were thinking that others that were not pure devotees were actually passing by pure devotees. So it was a big confusion. It's easy to confuse people. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, for a long time, he was planning, he was dreaming, how I can expand this movement, but not just in India. Although he did not even have a movement in India, he was already thinking expanding the movement outside India. He was dreaming of bringing Westerners to India to meet with the Indians and to gather chanting Hare Krishna. So he wrote the following: the Dharma preached by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is universal and not exclusive. The principle of Kirtan as the future church of the world invites all classes of men, without distinction of caste or clan, to the highest cultivation of the spirit. This church, it appears, will spread worldwide and replace all sectarian churches, which exclude outsiders from the presence of the mosque, church, or temple. Isn't this is exactly what happens, no? In many churches, if you are not part of that church, no, you cannot go to God. If you're not part of my church, you know, you're excluded. They already exclude 99% of the beings, because no beings have souls, only human beings. And if you're a human being and not part of my church, you're finished. So that's no, exactly this. Lord Chaitanya did not advent himself to liberate only a few men in India. Rather, no, and he's writing this in the mid-1800s. Rather, his main objective was to emancipate all living entities of all countries throughout the universe, and to propagate the eternal Dharma. Lord Chaitanya states in the Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata, open quotes, in every town, country, and village, my name will be sung. Close quotes. There is no doubt that this unquestionable order will come to pass in a place and in an age where people were doubting this could ever happen. Now he is completely sure, look his language, there is no doubt that this unquestionable order will come to pass. Although there is still no pure society of Vaishnavas, Lord Chaitanya's prophetic words will in a few days come true, I am sure. Again, he says, I am sure. He's completely convinced. Why not? He asks. Why not? Nothing is absolutely pure in the beginning. From imperfection, purity will come about. Very soon, the unparalleled path of Harinama Sankirtan will be propagated all over the planet. Oh, for that day when the fortunate English, French, Russian, Prussian, and American people will take up banners, mridangas, and kartals and perform kirtana through their streets and towns. When will that day come? Oh, for the day when the Western fair skinned men from one side, while chanting Jaya Sachinanda Ki Jai, will extend their arms and embracing the devotees of our country coming from another side, treat us with brotherly feelings. When will that day be? So he's dreaming with this day. He's dreaming with this day. On such a day, they will say, our dear Aryan brothers, we have taken shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, who is the ocean of transcendental love. Kindly embrace us. When will that day come? That day we witness the holy transcendental Vaishnava Prema to be the only Dharma. And like rivers meeting the ocean, all narrow creeds will mix with the unlimited Vaishnava Dharma. When will that day come? So he wrote all this. And then he was in Jagannath Puri. And he had a dream with Lord Jagannath. And on that dream, the Lord told him, don't think that I brought you here to Puri to deal with legal matters. I brought you here to preach. So the Lord can be tough, you know? It can be soft like a rose and tough like a thunderbolt. So don't think I brought you here for legal matters. I brought you here to preach. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, this great Vaishnavas, they can speak to the Lord like at the same level, you know, like we're talking to each other. He said, well, I'm doing everything I can, but your mission has been severely deprecated. And most of my life is behind me. And this, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born in 1838. By my calculation, at this time when he had this dream, he was about 36 years old. Because when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was born, he was about 36 years old. But he says to the Lord, most of my life is behind me. However, if you want more preaching, then you send somebody from your own staff. I'm doing everything I can. You want more? Send somebody to do the job. And the Lord said, okay, no problem. Now he threw the ball back to the Lord. Now the Lord throws the ball back to him. Okay, if you want that, no problem. You go and pray to the deity of Bimala. So he went and started praying to the deity of Bimala, which is inside the complex of the Jagannath Puri temple. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was born, and he received the name Bimala Prasad. He's the Prasadam of Bimala. And actually, an astrologer, before that, even before his advent, the grandfather of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told Srila Bhaktivinoda at his deathbed, he said the following, that an extraordinary sadhu will take birth in your house, Bhaktivinoda. So he was dying at his deathbed. He said, an extraordinary sadhu will take birth in your house. And when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was born, the astrologer that was hired to do his astrological chart, he said that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's body, this newborn's body, possessed all 32 symptoms of an exalted personage, as delineated in the scriptures. Pancha dirga pancha shukshma sapta rakta saudnata tri hashra pritu gambhiro dam trim shau lakshano maham. The five large parts are the nose, arms, chin, eyes, and knees. The five fine parts are the skin, fingertips, teeth, hair on the body, and hair on the head. The seven red parts are the eyes, soles, palms, palate, nails, and upper and lower lips. The six raised parts are the chest, shoulders, nails, nose, waist, and mouth. The three small parts are the neck, figs, and male organ. The three broad parts are the waist, forehead, and chest. The three grave parts are the navel, voice, and existence. So he had all the symptoms. And the astrologer further said, I have done many horoscopes in my life, but I have never seen any horoscope like this. So the astrologer was shocked. And the astrologer said much more. But then, when the Lord was born, he was born on the 6th of February of 1874 at 3:30 p.m. in Puri. And he was the fourth of eight sons, and the third by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's second wife, Srimati Bhagavat Devi. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had two wives. The first wife, she died at an early age. So immediately he got married to another wife, who was Bhagavati Devi Dasi, who became the mother of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had traced back his family tree all the way back to Lord Brahma. It was traditional on those days on upscale Bengali families to do that. And here is the information. It's quite interesting, actually. See, and this was published on the Sajjana Toshani after Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's departure. According to the belief and judgment of the illustrious Hindu family lines, those descending from Brahma via the progeny of Chitragupta were celebrated in Bharatavarsha as Brahma Kayastas. Bharata was the 87th generation from Chitragupta, and Bharadwaja the 88th. After him came Angira, and then Brihaspati. In the 149th generation, Purushottama, son of Shivadatta, went to Bengal upon the summons of King Adi Shura of Bengal. Purushottama's youngest son accepted sannyasa with the name Kanaka Dandi. His composition, Sadagrahi Vaishnava Mahimashtaka, is extant even today. In the 7th and 8th generations of Purushottama's family, both Vinayaka and his son Narayana Datta were royal ministers. In the 15th generation from Purushottama appeared the son of Kamadeva named Raja Krishnananda, who had an exceedingly pronounced taste for the holy name. It looks like everybody in his family, or at least many people in his family, were great Vaishnavas, not just regular devotees. Accompanied by his entourage, Sri Nityananda Prabhu came to the home of Raja Krishnananda, who was, you know, an ancestor of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Nityananda Prabhu visited his house and bestowed mercy upon him. The 7th generation from Krishnananda saw the appearance of Madana Mohana, whose piety was so famed that it is recommended to remember him in the morning. Such a great Vaishnava. He was venerated by all the residents of Bengal, especially all respectable persons of Calcutta. He fostered the prestige of Varnashram Dharma by establishing temples and other such structures in Banaras and similar holy places, by having bodies of water excavated in many locations, and by constructing the steps at the Prestashila in Gaya. The generosity and prosperity of his eldest son, Ramatanu, was in recent days spoken of in every home in Calcutta. A great grandson of Madana Mohana was Ananda Chandra Datta. Do you know who Ananda Chandra Datta is? Who knows? He's the father of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Ananda Chandra Datta, who gave his third son, our Thakur is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the name Kedaranatha. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had appeared in 1838 as the most distinguished descendant of a lineage that was already renowned for both worldly and religious merit. With the advent of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, the family line became even further enhanced. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was certainly not an ordinary mortal belonging to a particular race or caste. He was neither Bengali, Indian, nor Kayasta, but a resident of Vaikuntha, come to exhibit the character of the spiritual world and reclaim fallen souls. Like Prabhupada said, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was a Vaikuntha man. And from early in his childhood, he exhibited the symptoms of a very high personality. One time, when he was about 5 years old, his father bought mangoes, and he took a mango and he ate the mango. But the mango was not offered. We can see here the level of Krishna consciousness that they had at home. They would offer everything to the deities. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur disciplined him, said, "You cannot eat something that's not offered to the deities." So they had Shilas in the house. So they would offer to the Shilas. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, on his own desire, made the vow that never again I'm going to eat mangoes in my life. But it's described that he would not eat fresh mango. He ate mango picos and other things that were not fresh mango. But fresh mango he would not eat. And whenever somebody offered him mangoes, he would quote the verse, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, that everything belongs to Krishna. And I took something that belongs to Krishna, so I can't. In his house, chanting was compulsory. At an early age, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him a japamala that he brought from Puri. And he gave that japamala to Bimal. And this was in 1881. Bimal Prasada was 70 years old at that time. So, and he had to chant japa. He also initiated Bimal Prasadam with the Narasimha mantra. So the father initiated the son, because the father is the first spiritual master of the son. So he initiated the son. In that same year, he found, in building a new house, they found a Kurma Deva Shalagram Shila under the underground. And he took that Kurma Deva Shalagram Shila and gave to Shila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, then Bhimal Prasadam, to worship. And he was actually criticized that he should have given that to a born Brahmana to worship the Shalagram Shila. But Thakur Bhaktivinoda responded to that, no, he would rather give it to a Vaishnava. He had an exceptional ability to remember. Even in his old age, he was able to remember things that he heard 50 years earlier, and he was able to recite them verbatim without mistake. 50 years earlier. He was a voracious reading. He was constantly reading, but he liked to read Vaishnava literature. So then at home, he brought homework from his school to do the homework, but he would fake that he was doing the homework and he was reading Vaishnava literature. Just people believe that he was doing the homework. Like Prahlad Maharaj, in his childhood, Bimal Prasadam, he was not into playing with toys and frivolous sports. He was completely dedicated from childhood to Krishna consciousness. He was always reading the books of the Vaishnava Acharyas, and he was mainly educated through the books of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In all his writings, the writings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, there's no other Acharya that he quotes most than Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He quotes many Acharyas, but Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he quotes more than anybody else. And in discussing with Bhaktivikash Maharaj, how did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta saw Srila Bhaktivinoda? Bhaktivikash Maharaj told me that he didn't see him as a father. He saw him as a spiritual master. And he treated him as a spiritual master. He had the highest respect for him. Srila Bihari Das Babaji, the personal servant of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, describes Bimala Prasada in the following way. So, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, we know, was the spiritual master of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he had this servant called Bihari Das Babaji. And Bihari Das Babaji, he would often go with Jagannath Das Babaji to the house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Calcutta. Yeah. And just, I'm going to interject another pastime here. Once Srila Gorakshira Das Babaji sent a message to Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Calcutta. He sent a written message. He could not write. He was illiterate. But he used to dictate messages and somebody else would write. So he sent this message. The message said, instead of staying in Calcutta, the place of Kali, you should come and stay in Mayapur. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur replied back, there is no place for Kali to reside where I'm residing. So, Sri Bihari Das Babaji said, I often saw Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in his childhood in Calcutta at the house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur whenever I visited there with Babaji Maharaj. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would wear only a pullover shirt. He struck me as having a serious nature. I was attracted by his effulgence and learning. He was always attached to the holy name. In his earlier years, his frame was very lean. Babaji Maharaj loved him dearly. So he met Jagannath Das Babaji, and Jagannath Das Babaji loved him dearly. And he was a very grave person. I'm moving forward a little bit at the time of Gaudiya Math. At the beginning of Gaudiya Math, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati used to lead Kirtan. However, As soon as more people joined and they were qualified singers to lead kirtan, he didn't lead kirtan. He wasn't a person of doing kirtan, like singing, very much. His main kirtan is described in the book, was his incessant preaching of Krishna consciousness. One time a doctor came to treat him, and the doctor told him that, well, the problem is that you are preaching too much. You know, you need to rest a little bit. And he preached 4 hours to that doctor. So, and also he would not dance. He would encourage the devotees to dance, but he would stay in the back of the temple and he would not dance. He was a very, very sober person, extremely sober. One time, his mother and sister came to visit him, and there was a brahmachari. And the brahmachari decided to leave and said, "No, why are you leaving? Do you want me to fall down?" It's very strict. So one time, a reputed Babaji noticed that Bimal failed to offer obeisances to him. Now, this Babaji came to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bimal did not offer obeisances to him. So the Babaji went to complain to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him, "Yes, he doesn't offer obeisances to Sahajiyas." English education. I heard from 2 devotees actually here in Alatra, and I'm going to explain how this is not true, what I'm saying now, but I heard this, that to learn English, he locked himself in a place for 7 days with many English books, and he learned English. But this is not true. I consulted with Bhakti Vikar Swami, and he told me, no, it's not true. And actually in the book, the Bhaktivedanta Vaibhava, there are several examples how he learned English from an early age. Even Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was 5 years old, his family hired an English teacher for him. And this English teacher was actually from France. He was a native of France. And he used to wear dhoti, and he liked dal and chapati. And he was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's first English teacher. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati also, from an early age, 6 years old, Bimal's formal education commenced at an English school in Ranagat. When he was 6 years old, he already went to an English school. And actually, he went to the best schools that were available. And all of those schools had English education, because only upscale people would be sending their children to those schools. And those schools were teaching English at that time. So he learned English from a very early age. So it says here, by the age of 7, he had memorized all the verses from the Bhagavad Gita. So how many of you have memorized all the verses from the Bhagavad Gita by the age of 7? What about 20? 30? So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also wanted Bimal received the best of secular education, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very, very well educated. And you can see by his writing, he's so exclusive. And he was very well respected in... Now, I'm going back and forth, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, because there's such a strong connection. There is a letter of recommendation that is mentioned on the Swalihika Jivani, the story of my life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by a British officer, that he says so many nice things about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and at the end he wrote, and I'm honored. Now, this is a British officer during the time when Britain was controlling India. So this officer wrote this wonderful recommendation letter, and at the end he said, "And I'm honored to be your servant." And I'm honored to be your servant, sir. Yeah, and I'm honored to be your servant, sir. So, the emerging Bengali Bhadraloka placed much importance on Western schooling as the key to success. So, on those days, if you did not have a degree or if you dropped out from school, was a big disgrace for the family. However, that's exactly what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati did. He dropped from school. Was a dropped out. The first Hare Krishna dropped out. You know. Because he said the following. that his thought was the following. If I become very well educated, then I'm going to be a candidate to get married. Now, if I'm not well educated, who will want to marry me? Decent girl that we want to marry a boy that's not educated? So it's better that I don't become educated. He left the school. And there are several other mentions that he went to different schools and he was very educated. But Sri Siddhanta Sarasvati never felt inclined to that education. He was very expert in mastering anything that he got involved in. However, he wasn't inclined to that education. So he was a master in Jyotish, the astrological science. And he had disciples in that science. But at one point, he decided that I no longer want to be part of this. And becoming a master of Jyotish is when he received the title. It says here, in 1888, Bimala Prasad started translating from Sanskrit to Bengal two classical astronomical treatises, Siddhanta Shiromani, which he completed and published in 1893 and 1896, and Surya Siddhanta, with its original Sanskrit verses in his own Bengali rendition. And because of this translation, he received the title Siddhanta Sarasvati, because it was so unique, his work on this Surya Siddhanta and also the Siddhanta Shiromani. But then he decided that I no longer want to deal with this astrology thing. But there was a problem, because there was a very famous astrologer in India, was the guru of the gurus in astrology. And his name was Sri Bapudeva Shastri. And Sri Bapudeva Shastri was publishing things to satisfy the Westerners and compromising the purity of the Vedic astrology. And the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta were upset, and they were always debating with disciples of Bapudeva Shastri. And then one day it was decided that we're going to have a debate at the University of Kolkata to resolve this. And the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, "You have to come." He said, "No, but I don't want to deal with astrology. Just this last engagement. Please come for this last engagement." So he came, he agreed to go. And he was debating with a disciple of Bapudeva Shastri who was very senior and old. And there were many people attending the debate, including Bapudeva Shastri. But then something really unique happened. That Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was so accurate on his debate and so forceful that it demolished the disciple of Bapudeva Shastri in such a degree that Bapudeva Shastri involuntarily defecated and urinated at the assembly. Can you believe that? He was powerful. He was extremely powerful. He wasn't somebody you can play with, you know? This guy.
Was the guru an old man also? Like the disciple?
It doesn't mention on the book. I don't know. He also liked to read confidential books such as Krishna Karnamrita and Gita Govinda and other esoteric texts. However, he kept it to himself and never published any copies of those books. He only kept. And actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda, when he approached Srila Bhaktivinoda saying that he could publish the books, and Srila Bhaktivinoda said, "Yes, you can publish one copy for yourself. You're the only one that can understand." And as we know, he was a lifetime celibate. I'm going to show some pictures also and make some comments. And when he was still in school, it doesn't say which school, but he was a little older, maybe between 15 and 18. That's my calculation. He created a society called Chira Kumara Saha, Association of Lifelong Bachelors. And many people joined. But after some time, he was the only one left. All others got married. He was the only one that pursued a lifelong life of celibacy. And he once, during his school year, really interesting. He had a teacher, a British teacher, and one day outside the classroom, the teacher started questioning the students, and he was one of them, about the Bible. And on those days, you could never, it was unthinkable of disrespecting a senior. You know, not only in India, in most places, and gradually things became degraded. You know, but he was always very forceful and ready for any debate with whoever. So when this teacher was questioning about the Bible, he said, "Well, your Bible says that we should pray to God for bread. This is like the Shaktas that, you know, go to Kali asking for something. No. Real service is service to God, not God becoming your servant." So he made a strong criticism. This prayer that give me bread, is asking God to become your servant. God, serve me. And our philosophy is that we are the servants of God. We bring food for Krishna. We bring bread for Krishna. We cook bread for Krishna. So. And there was a bogus teacher. Now, during his school holidays, Sri Siddhanta Sarasvati studied the Vedas under Pandita Prithvishwara Sharma, who also tutored him in grammatical work Siddhanta Kaumudi. Sri Siddhanta Sarasvati went through the entire grammar in 3 months. So when he went through the entire grammar in 3 months, the teacher said, "That's not possible, because people take a lifetime to study this. You should not finish the perusal of Sandhi so quickly. It took me a long time. In Benares, the scholars go through Panini's grammar during their whole life. Whoever continuously studies Panini attains liberation upon dying." Sri Siddhanta Sarasvati replied, "Then today I reject you. The goal of my life is neither mastery of grammar nor liberation, but worship of Hari and attaining his affection." So he told this to his guru of grammar. "If that is your goal, then it is not for me. I reject you." Unbelievable. So a billion names. We all heard that he chanted a billion names. No. This means 3 lakhs a day. Usually 1 lakh is 58 rounds. But in the Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava says that, you know, Vaishnavas agreed to count 1 lakh as 64 rounds. So he used to chant 3 lakhs a day. That's what? 192. So 192 rounds a day for 9 years. He was chanting this for 9 years. And what you may not know is that the japa mala that he chanted this 1 billion rounds was a japa mala that was used by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who also chanted 1 billion rounds on that japa mala. So I'm wondering where that japa mala is, because I would like to see it. You know, I don't know, I couldn't find it. Google wasn't able to give me that answer. So he was chanting on that, and sometimes, you know, he made a small hut, and he had brought books from his trip to South India. There's so much to talk about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, so it's hard to cover everything. But he was traveling South India, collecting literature. And he had all these books around him, and he had the deity of Lord Chaitanya. And he used to sit there and just chant and chant and chant. And sometimes it was raining, and there was a leak, and there was water falling inside the small tent. And he would just open his umbrella and keep chanting. And he would only cook some rice and eat that little rice every day. And sometimes he felt nausea. And he would add a little black pepper to the rice. And also, during these 9 years, chanting was not the only thing he did. He also was managing the Gaudiya Math, which was a small Gaudiya Math then. But he was still doing that, some managerial work. So, It's just thinking about this is very, very difficult to understand, because just getting 16 rounds done is so difficult. 192 a day for 9 years. You know, it's unbelievable. And there were many incidents and struggles during these 9 years. So it wasn't known something very simple and easy. Then there was his first meeting with Goura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Toward the end of 1898, so 34 years old. Towards the end of 1898, At the end of 1898, at Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's newly constructed house in Swananda Shukada Kunja, Sri Siddhanta Sarasvati had his first darshan of Babaji Maharaj, who arrived there wearing a tiger skin cap and carrying a basket containing puja paraphernalia. Just picture that. Both of which had been given to him by the famed Sri Bhagavam Dasa Babaji of Kalna. Sri Siddhanta Sarasvati became deeply struck upon hearing Babaji Maharaj recite a song articulating Srila Raghunatha Das Goswami's feelings for Srimati Radhanani. He wrote down those esoteric verses and ensouled them as the essence of his own internal bhajana. Later on, Babaji Maharaj gave the tiger skin hat and those arti paraphernalia to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. And although, you know, in the material estimate, they mean nothing, but the spiritually was very important for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to receive those gifts. And then, later on, one time Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was preaching, and Srila Goura Kishore Das Babaji was all the way in the back, incognito, watching the lecture. And after he made a comment, "Oh, my disciple has the renunciation of Rupa Raghunath." Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta could be completely renounced, but he could be very sophisticated as well. He said that, "No, I can draw a dress even more sophisticated than them." And if you see his coat, his shoes, everything was special. And he was very bold. Where is my controller? We're going to go over some pictures. Hopefully the controller will work. Okay, it does work. Or just because I said it works, it stopped working. Come on, controller. Perhaps somebody can click that. Ah, it's moving. So that is Jagannath Das Babaji. These pictures are all from the Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava book. And by the way, it's such a gift that Bhakti Vikar Swami spent over 20 years researching this and publishing this. And actually, there are many, at the beginning of the book, he explains there are many misunderstandings, things that devotees were saying about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta that are not accurate. And he clarifies several of these points at the beginning of the book. Because there was never so much written about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in one book. So probably even people at the Gaudiya Matha, on those days, remember, they had no internet, no Facebook, no Google. You know, to find things wasn't that simple and easy. You know? So, sorry for that. So, they could not know as much as we know through this book about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. There's a wealth of information in this book. I think it would be better if you move there, because it's not Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There is a picture that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote on the back of the picture, something for Bimal Prasad. Keep moving. No, Goura Kishore Das Babaji. Okay, keep moving. This is the mother of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Sri Bhagavati Devidas. Srimati Bhagavati Devidas. This is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, 1881, so he was 7 years old. This is the place where he was born. This, he's a little older. This is a family picture. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all his children and wife. Here, go back. You see, Srila Bhaktivinoda wrote this to Bimal Prasad on the picture. This is the picture. Oh no, it's the previous picture. Okay, keep going. He was very sober. Actually, you can't find any picture of him smiling. He's a very sober and grave person. This is when he gave himself sannyas. So, then his preaching mission was expanding. He was not only very powerful spiritually, but he was able to open 64 temples and make a massive preaching using the printing press. There is a logo that he designed for the Gaudiya Matha. And on this logo, there's a mridanga, there are books, there's a council, and there's also the printing press. There's a printing machine. And one pandit told him, why everything in this logo is Indian and only the printing press is Westerner? Why did you do that? And he said, this printing press is neither Indian nor Westerner. This is aprakrita. It's transcendental because it's being used in the service of the Lord. That was his answer. Again, his preaching mission. Now, this picture now starts him showing him with important people. Next one. Keep going. I think you're going back. No? Keep going. The different kings and the Maharaj of Jasur. Now this is with the governor, isn't it? I can't read very well from here. The governor of Bengal? Okay, keep going. Bagh Bazaar. So this temple is still there, the Bagh Bazaar. And there's a wonderful story about this temple. This temple was built by a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. I can't remember his name. Maybe somebody can here. And he was a very poor man who moved to Calcutta and became very wealthy. And when he met one of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples, he decided to build this temple. But not only he was giving all the money to build this temple, he was personally managing the building of the temple. And sometimes when he didn't like something, he told them, you demolish and do again. I want this perfect. And he neglected his business. You know, and if you're a big, wealthy businessman and you neglect your business, just guess what your family thinks of you, you know, how they feel about that. So the family, you know, was not very happy with that, but he didn't care. He kept doing everything until the temple was opened. There was the grand opening. And the grand opening was more than one day. And on the third day, he left his body. So he was just there just to build the temple. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told the devotees to build the samadhi for him. There, at the location. Yeah. It's a really nice story. Yeah. Lecturing on Bhagavatam. Those are the deities. Shishi. Yeah. Okay, that's the governor. Sir John Anderson, isn't it? Yes. There's a very nice story about this. Because the governor decided to visit Mayapur. It's a big thing. It's the governor of Bengal, of the entire state. And he is the representative of the queen. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta decided to hire a hotel from Calcutta to do all the preparations for the reception of the governor. And he instructed the hotel to cook whatever British dishes the governor liked, even meat, and serve to the governor. And then he told Sridhar Swami, his disciple, that now perhaps we can also use this approach when preaching in foreign countries. And Sridhar Swami told him that, well, if you do this, you're going to be criticized. And he said, well, I have decided this thousands of births ago. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, thousands of births ago. So he was very open-minded. He was very strict with himself. And he was strict with those living in the math as well. It's described in the Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava that rarely somebody residing at the math would sleep more than 4 hours at night. And he was a preaching machine. And sometimes he preached in unique ways. So a very well-educated man came to him and said, I would like to learn the ultimate goal of life from you. So, okay. So if you want to learn the ultimate goal of life, so you go and ask this disciple of mine. Okay. So he went around the temple and they found out the disciple was the gardener. He was outside doing gardening. So he went to him and said, I went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to learn the Vedic knowledge, the ultimate goal of life, and he told me to come to you. And the disciple said, me? Like, why me? And the disciple said, well, I don't know anything. The only thing I know, I grow flowers and I offer the flowers to the deities. That's all I know how to do. So the man went back to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and said, no, maybe something is wrong, because he said he doesn't know anything about the ultimate goal of life. He only knows how to grow flowers and offer to the deities. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta looked at him and said, so did you learn? We just have to be humble servants of Krishna. Just humble servants. And also he was in very good terms with the British government. No. Some people wanted to take this political party, that political party. Now, even when Prabhupada went to meet with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was wearing his Gandhi dress. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that, the mission of Lord Chaitanya is not to benefit this group or that group. It's completely transcendental to any political party. But he was always in very good terms with the British. And the British helped him in different ways as well. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also was in very good terms with the British. And there was one major difference between Srila Bhaktivinoda, I want to mention, that Srila Bhaktivinoda was very friendly with everybody. Now, he also didn't have a movement to back him up. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was ferocious. And sometimes his disciples would tell him, is it possible for you to tone down a little bit? Because it sometimes makes it difficult for us, because we go out there and we have to answer things. And there is a nice pastime that some of his disciples, under the guide of Sridhar Swami, were preaching in a distant place. And one of the brahmacharis, it was a several day event, and one of the brahmacharis started preaching to a crowd. And remember that on those days Ramakrishna was very popular, And actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur met with Ramakrishna once. He was in the house of somebody and Ramakrishna came. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has some blood relationship, distant blood relationship with Ramakrishna. So came to the house, and the owner of the house wanted Srila Bhaktivinoda to examine Ramakrishna and say if he was genuine. And Ramakrishna came and threw himself on the floor. Oh, I see today such a great Vaishnava Bhaktivinoda Thakur through in ecstasy, but Bhaktivinoda couldn't pay attention. But this, going back to this past time, so they were, Sridhar Swami and some disciples were at this event, and there was a brahmachari. And this brahmachari was preaching, and somebody brought up Ramakrishna. And he said that this Ramakrishna is crazy, and his wife is a prostitute. Heavy stuff. And suddenly everybody is running after the brahmachari trying to kill him. And he runs away, and he leaves the place. So the event that was supposed to be several days and ended up before the first day. And then some other devotees, they went to the local leader, the mayor, and said, no, this brahmachari will not speak again. And we guarantee you that we're only going to speak about Krishna, and this is not going to happen again. And they agreed. Okay, so only one day. So on that first day, then Sridhar Swami is going to speak. And more people came than expected, because now everybody's expecting Sridhar Swami to apologize. And they are pressuring him to apologize. And he would not apologize. He would not apologize. And they are pressuring him. He would not apologize. And then he said, if you are not happy with what I'm saying, no, then you have to go to our line of the cyclic succession. Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami, no, and all the Shukadeva Goswami. And compared to them, this Ramakrishna and his followers are very small. So if you want any satisfaction and an apology, then you should go and talk to them. And actually people liked the answer, the honest answer. And he was able to do all the following days, and more people came. And when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta heard this, that he would not apologize, and he acted like this, he commended him for that. He liked it, his approach. He wasn't apologetic either. Yeah. He was very sure of what he said and the actions that he took, very firm. I think it's getting a little late, so there's so much more about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. I just want to tell you one thing that happened, just want to share with you. I read all the three books, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, and I became very encouraged, and I took many notes, and I wanted to speak about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta whenever there was an opportunity. And then yesterday, Nagaraj called me at around noon time. He said, I was supposed to give class tomorrow for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's appearance day, but I have a throat problem. Would you like to give class? I said, that's unbelievable. I said, I had this desire. I wanted to do this, but I didn't want to go and ask people to do it. Huh? And he came this way, so I felt very fortunate. Good fortune. Good fortune to have all of you as association. It's a blessing of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Any questions? Anything you would like to comment?
Not much time, but just one pastime. That even the demigods, even those who has a fear, I met this, probably you met him, I don't know. There's a Acharya Puri Maharaj's temple. There's a great Prabhupada's godbrother, Ramagati Prabhu. He was initiated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And he deviated from the spiritual path. He went back to eating fish, which is like a very difficult to give up for a Bengalis, I guess. And he spent like almost decades with his family and eating fish, breaking rules, no more chanting. So he passed away, and he died, and this is his own story. He wrote it down after what happened. And at one point, he passed away in the middle of the night, and he, in Vedic culture, the eldest son has to do the funeral, means in the crematory, he has to put the fire first. And his son lived 12 hours journey, Guwahati. So somebody went there and came back is almost like a long 24 hours took. And this dead body was lying on the pyre of a crematory place where all the people are surrounded for 24 hours. And then when he came back, his son came from his work and going to cremate, and then he started crying, "Oh, Father, I really never associated with you." And then he remembers that he was a Vaishnava in his early age, he was a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Swatagur. All of a sudden, as they were ready to put a fire, he just moved the wood, the dead body, Ramgati Prabhu, and just came out. In the beginning, all the villagers, they thought it's a ghost. So few people ran away and was like a very, very frightening. And at that time, he told his son, "Put down this fire, take me to Gaudiya Math, and I want to just go there, I'm not going home." So he came back and then he narrated this story, that he was in a queue where he saw Jamaraj sitting in a big throne. And there's millions of people getting judgment. And then he kind of like a hazy dreaming, like very confusing. Then Jamaraj, all of a sudden, he noticed Jamaraj came down from the throne. He said, "Who is Prabhupada?" "Bhakti Siddhanta." And he got so frightened. "Oh, my Guru Maharaj, go back and do bhajan." Then he started crying, and then he opened his eye. He found himself in his village, that he was dead. He was ready to be cremated. He didn't even realize.
Wow, it's a wonderful story.
Yeah. The Jamaraj, all the demigods, they are aware of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Swatagur.
There's a nice story also that I'm going to close, that the demigods were in great sages, and demigods were debating about one specific verse. I can't remember the verse. And they could not come to a conclusion. Then they said, "Bring Bhaktivinoda Thakur." Yeah, just and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and gave the final conclusion. So these are not just any souls, they're very special souls. And we are blessed to have Prabhupada, the most special soul that came by the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.